Добрий день, добрий ранок. Ми щойно списалися 10 хвилин тому, і виявилося, що всі можуть якраз у цю неділю поговорити. We can all talk now. Suddenly. Yes. It's just a beautiful moment that all of us can participate now in podcast. So this is spontaneous podcast, and it's also broadcasted at Podbean platform. So people will see us listed, our chat, and if someone interested by topic and can understand us, they can jump in. Okay, guys, now you talk. You say, Andriy, right, Roman.
Go ahead, Romko, go ahead.
Let's just talk. You know, when a bunch of guys sit down, each one has a beat in his hand, and they're just talking. Mm-hmm. Nobody really ever sets. I think since you started it by saying it's spontaneous, mm-hmm. Well, that's about as spontaneous as you can get.
Yeah, well, I get what you're saying, Romko. Sure, ми повинні собі так говорити, нібито при каві чи там на кухні or whatever the phrase is. But at the same time, I think some topics will organically come out, and I wouldn't.
They'll come up, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's good because you know, I think one of the beauties of what we used to do in the past, and that's why I'm really happy to maybe try this again. That would be one topic is why we stopped and why it took so long for us to get back here, but. You know, one of the good things that we did was we were very natural. Ми говорили ніби як ми друзі, і ми старалися приєднати до нас подібних таких, що так само думають, або їм цікаво слухати про те, що ми тараванимо. So, you know, it's a bit of this, it's a bit of that. It's a little formal, it's a little informal, but it works. I think it's good.
All right.
You have just said it. What we were going to be talking about is going to come up. Somebody will say something, you'll say something.
Yep.
I, for instance, have a question for Stanislav. He wrote a thing about the українські ковбої, що їхали, взагалі, це дуже цікава розповідь, що я прочитав на Фейсбуку, і хотів його спитатися просто, Станиславе, ти далі пишеш? Because that really was a lot of fun. I read that thing, and I was thinking, what's the next step, whatever, what's going to happen to this character that you have.
Well, thank you, Pan Roman. Yes, I created this page, Literaturne Eksperimenty, and I'm writing in Ukrainian. I'm trying to develop my skills of writing, because I consider writing my retirement activity, maybe in some 10 years. So I'm just preparing myself. Learning how to write. From my childhood, I'm a storyteller. But of course, in my native language, right? You know, when I was a kid, I could I could tell story 1 hour long and people were gathering around me. I had this talent. I lost it. So now I'm trying to kind of revive it and learn to write, right? But again, in Ukrainian, right? Well, we have, by the way, two guests listening to us. They say hi in chat.
Already?
Yeah, but it's two only.
Співчуваємо з вами.
Oh, I think they are English speaking, but speakers. But
well, that's good, because I really want them to understand what I said. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad to have you along.
Yeah, some stories I wrote I like myself, so I probably will develop them. And I'm always waiting for response, so Roman. If you like it, put your comment. I will answer.
Well, I mentioned that because you said something very interesting, that you are a storyteller, but then you lost it. You don't ever lose storytelling, because I know, because that's what I am, and I think Andy is also that. It's something that you develop from childhood. Mm-hmm. You find that you can captivate people with your stories, whatever the story might be, and I have found it to be a very useful tool for me, because I was on the radio all the time for 13 years, and then I found that I really can tell stories, but I've always told stories in English and in Ukrainian. So, and I have written a book, just so you know, so I have there's a book, it's going to be out, I guess, hopefully by March, end of March, April, maybe.
I'll buy it.
For funding, because print is exactly cheap.
And it's Ромко, definitely, знаєш що, Шуб'яна забув. I'm not on Facebook that much these days, so definitely send something in Messenger in terms of a link when you've got something ready. Я перший буду купувати.
Me too. I'm другий. Я другий буду купувати.
Well, Well, I want to come. Yeah, I want to come like to Toronto because my publisher wants to do this in Ukraine. You know, come to places like that.
And, yes. Do it. Do it.
Because it's a silly book. Well, you know what it's based on? It's based on a novel that they call it "Historique Francouzski," which believed that every person has a history, and every person's history is important and interesting. And you have interesting. And I didn't think that mine was interesting, but I wrote a couple of things on my. I have a Facebook, regular Facebook page, but I also have one page where you see this 9-year-old kid. That was my DP picture on my green card. But I have another one, this old guy sitting there bald-headed, like a little from the profile. And I write longer things in there because when you do it on Facebook, everybody, nobody wants to read, you know, my page and a half of nonsense. So so I wrote a few things and I got a response, which was like weird, that people liked it and they were interested in it. And I thought I was just venting, you know. And basically also I'm doing what is known, you know, when you write for yourself, about yourself, what better subject do you have? You know about yourself. So that really, you know, I know it sounds maybe immodest, but write about yourself. Because you go, you know, when there are people who affect you, and then you are the people that affects others. You know, all of these things are very important, and interaction with people is important. So I think, like, what we're doing right now is really important. I think it's...
Roman, may I ask you? One thing you just said, if I understood it well, you saying if I post my story on Facebook, nobody cares, but if I print it, it's different, right? That's what you said?
Yeah, there's something to that. Yes, I agree.
That's also interesting. Some people saying this in comments to my stories, they said it's in Facebook, it's kind of not fun to read. Put it to paper.
There's a certain legitimacy and validity to going through the traditional means of publishing, but you know that's just the way it is for now.
I think it'll always be because don't forget that the first ones in those French caves where they did all when the Neanderthals were painting little men with spears and stuff on the wall. There's a permanency to the written word, which is not in because it's very easily lost in the internet. You know. You might just sort hit the wrong button and you can lose the whole story. But a book on a shelf is a book on the shelf. And you can get up. And the other thing is you can sit and turn the pages and come back a page or two and know exactly where you were and you can make a mark. And on a computer, not everybody is that knowledgeable. Me, for instance, I'm not that knowledgeable. I don't know how to do all that. So for me, it's a very difficult process, but it gives me an opportunity to think about my life. Now you guys are still young, so you don't have to worry about it. But I'm 80.
Who are you calling young?
You are young.
Not so young.
It's a take on the old. Who are you calling old?
Well, I'm not old. Let's put it this way: I'm a 16-year-old with 64 years of experience.
Romko, okay, you know what you have to do. Promise me that you will do an audiobook version of the book.
Wow, yeah, good idea. You have good voice, yes.
Because you know, you would get to read your own story. That is the best way to read memoirs and biographies in the person's voice.
Yeah.
And you have a voice.
Good idea.
Yeah.
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 Totally.
Well, Adam, if I live long enough, you know, guys, me, I'm planning, you know, I have very simple plans. Uh-huh. I'm retired. No place that I really have to be. You know, I can be anywhere, really. And the other thing that's really interesting right now is that I'm only really, I'd like to see my grandson finish high school and go into the university. And to do that, I would have to live as long as Kirk Douglas did, and he made it to 103. And now, you know, for me, that's 23 years from where I am right now.
Wrong.
I don't know if I can... long. I'm going to do my best.
Romko, but the thing is, you know how it is, right? You could live to the age of 90 and you'll be celebrating this whole thing that you're 90. And then, you know, the next day, some kind of, I'm not wishing this upon you, of course. I'm just speaking the way it is. You know, you could die in a plane crash. Anything could happen, right? It could happen to someone who's, but it could happen to someone who's 40 years old.
Absolutely.
So you got to look at it as abumayesh kikadnyu abunemayesh. Just go for it.
Oh, no, I am going for it. You might have misread me. I'm not complaining about the fact. I'm just facing up to the fact that,
yeah.
I can You know, I'm in God's waiting room, but yeah, I was in that waiting room when I was 1 year old. I almost died. You know, so there are things.
I was listening to Ukrainian show today. I shared it. Probably I will share it on my Facebook page. Biology now, it's next IT. So people will invest more and more to living long, long living, to technology like genetical technologies and technologies around long living. So wait, if we all three of us survive for next 10 years, we probably will survive till 200 years old.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, so it's all changing. Yeah.
You know, the interesting thing is, I didn't realize, it's touched on in my book, but basically, I was born a Soviet citizen. I was born in Lviv in 1940, mm-hmm. and I was occupied by the Soviets at that time. Mm-hmm. Then by 41, they were thrown out of there, and then they had Germans there. Yeah. And so my last name is spelled through, well, Cyrillic, Shved, right? Mm-hmm. Then in Polish, S-Z-W-E-D. Mm-hmm. Then in Russian, and I was in Lvov and Lvov, mm-hmm. and during Austro-Hungary, it was Lemberg. So, you know, when you start from that kind of point, and, you know, if you were, like, say, in French Canada, and you hadn't started up with the English language, and then you went to French language, and these points in your life, as if you really think about them, and it's really good to think about them, especially if you go through a lot of changes in your life, and you have, Andrew. And yeah. To me, you know, that's what happens. It's good because it, you know, when I wrote all this down, I got rid of a lot of stuff, you know, that I didn't need. And I wrote it, I faced up to it, I looked at it, I kind of thought about it, and it's, you know, it's not gone, but it's not a burden anymore. It doesn't weigh anything. It's on paper, and it's going to be a book.
Yeah, so, you know, Roman, you know what my coworkers would say to me when I start explaining something like this? They say, Stan, you are messed up. I'm just saying, no, take it positively. I'm saying it's good for book. I hope our kids will understand it.
Listen, stop makes you interesting. If you're bland, I mean, you know, that's not funny at all. That's not interesting at all. But when you're messed up, mm-hmm. wow. You know, everybody says,
yeah. man. At first I was shocked.
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah, because what? I messed up? What? How you can talk? It's politically correct, Canada. How you can say I messed up? And but
even political
correctness.
So that's right there. That went the window. Okay, tell us something, Andrew. Talk about something.
Okay, my question is this. Which one of us has Ukrainian citizenship? Raise your hand.
Okay, I think I do because I raised my hand because no one revoked my citizenship, but I don't maintain it. So, of course.
So you don't know. You may be or you might not be, depending on whether you're registered still.
Yeah,
well,
I don't know.
But are you a Canadian?
What's that?
I'm asking Stan, are you a Canadian citizen?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that means you could be. Ukraine is now coming up with this theory. I don't know if it's going to happen. Or
that's my question. That's my next question.
I want to do dual citizenship. And the peril with that, the people who are doing it right now, they're not doing it for me or for you or for anybody else. They're doing it for Russia. And all of a sudden, we're going to have a whole bunch of Russians who will have a Russian passport and a Ukrainian passport. And whenever we have, Vibory, we have elections, next thing you know, they're going to be down here influencing our election in Ukraine. So I find some peril in that dual citizenship idea. But,
Андрій, що ти хотів сказати? What do you want to say about this?
So, you know, like Romko's bringing a good point. There are a lot of caveats. So I think that law that is being proposed in terms of allowing people to apply for Ukrainian citizenship, I think that law has to be very carefully structured. But I'm looking at it from the point of view of someone who has Ukrainian roots and is interested in being whatever it's called, a dual citizen or whatever the thing is. You know, I always thought when I heard about that, that would be an interesting idea, but I think it has to be done very carefully if that's going to be a possibility,
you know,
in terms of the law.
I don't, let me put my input about this. First of all, when it comes to Ukrainian affairs, I don't like very carefully, because Ukraine has to change fast. Be fast, be smart, yeah. And fast. Fast, because everything happening in Ukraine is too slow. So speaking even about dual citizenship, they either do it or they don't do it. Because if they do it slow...
Wait a minute, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, wait a minute, though. The thing about slow and fast is less interesting to me. The more interesting to me is to do it right. So if it can be done quickly and it can be done right, great. But if it can't be done right by doing it quickly, then take your time. This is a huge, huge step. So for people like me, mm-hmm. who were not born in Ukraine, mm-hmm. but parents were born in Ukraine, then it's a great opportunity for me to have a better connection with my ancestral homeland. But at the same time, Stanislava, you made the point about this being abused by Russia, for example. Let's be right out there and open.
Then they will vote.
Guys, Stanislava, okay. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, though. Let me finish. Mm-hmm. It's not the Chinese that are going to be taking advantage of Ukrainian citizenship. It's not the Saudi Arabians that are going to be taking advantage of Ukrainian citizenship. It'll be the Russian imperialists that will be trying to take advantage of a Ukrainian citizenship to what? To do what? What Russian imperialists want to do, and that is destroy Ukraine.
No, listen. There, if they start doing this, Ukraine is a democracy. They will react, and they will close it. Yes.
Really?
Yeah, Ukraine itself inside.
Ukraine is democracy?
Ukraine? Yeah, Ukraine is democracy.
Is a democracy with the small... Chikai, Stanislava. Ukraine is a democracy with the smallest D available, okay? We're seeing things happening in the United States right now that are testing a mature democracy. If you think after almost 30 years independence, Ukraine is a democracy... Yes, it tends to be. It means to be. It constitutionally is written as a democracy, de jure, de facto, whatever you want to call it. But when you see what's happening these days in Ukraine, we're a long way from being the kind of democracy. Look, this is with Odin to Sudin. You guys know about the story with 1+1, the television network.
Yeah. So what's
wrong? One of the producers announced the other day that they, in their fall schedule, they're not going to be producing anything in Ukrainian other than comedies, because comedies play well in the Ukrainian language. Mm. But they don't play well. Don't play well in the Ukrainian language.
Okay, Andrei, did he say, or she, or is it he, I think?
She.
Did she say, yes, she. Right. Did she say exactly as you said it, that nothing but comedies? No, she said it differently. She said, we think that comedies will work better. But that's
Stanislava.
News will be still in Ukrainian. News will be still.
That's the first. I'm not talking about news. I'm talking about the other type of programming that they need to have to make Ukraine a cultural entertainment market that can
But this is Andrei, another point right away. 1+1 is not important like before. It's declining channel.
It still is though. Oh, Chikai, but it still is, Stan. Like, you can't say it's not. Look, it got a president. It got a president elected. You can't tell me that it's not. It's not popular.
Oh, it's popular. Let me tell you something, because I lived there. You know, I lived there for at least 9 months every year.
Yeah.
And I can tell you how people basically look at this, and how people are very disappointed with the 73% of idiots who voted for a comedian who really doesn't understand how to run things. I mean, I'm not talking about, the fact that he's a... Його тягне до Росії, я розумію.
Ні, не тягне його до Росії, не треба туди.
Я це розумію, but the problem here is, що Україна мусить бути українською. You know, there's like the population of Turks in Germany is humongous. It's bigger than the Russian population in Ukraine. But the Germans aren't learning how to speak Turkish. Ukrainians all want to speak Russian. And that's a big problem. It's a problem for many, many reasons. Some of it is propaganda.
It's an important topic. It's not about Ukrainian. It's because if Germans were so creative like Ukrainians today, so they would start to speaking Turkish a little bit, because Germans are much more culturally active, and there is a, you know, we have to not only protect ourselves, we have to also be like smarter and innovative. So I mean, I know
okay,
this challenge.
Okay, but see this guy.
Let me add something to this, because the interesting thing is I'm married to a woman who is very, she's dyed in the wool Israeli, although she isn't. She's Ukrainian, Ukrainska Yureka. And her feeling on this subject is, and she's basically right, you know what Israel did, Israel, a whole bunch of European Jews came over and they were speaking Yiddish. But Israel decided that to be Jewish, they have to learn Hebrew.
Yes.
And this, and this became a law, and that's all. Now,
is it good? Roman, it's controversial. Yes, it's controversial. Is Jews inside? They don't not sure it's good. The good decision. It's a controversial subject for Jews.
Oh, it's a good decision. See, it's a very bad decision because Russian Jews and Ukrainian Jews are very. They live there now. There's a lot of them moved there. And they're starting their own party. And even if they колотят, Russians should have said колотят. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Nobody sees that. Nobody sees that.
Let me just add something to what Stan said. Stan, you said that що всі бояться, що це буде пхати цього Зеленського до Росії. Чи він органічно тягнеться чи пхається до Росії чи ні? Окей, fine, you know what though? That's fine, but до чого він тягне? Він не тягне до України, він тягне до якогось Совка, він тягне до якогось Бог знає що. Він не тягне до тої України, яка має бути, Stan. Like, that's the whole thing, okay? Like, Zelensky's got a lot of interesting... wait a minute, hold on, let me finish. He's got a lot of good ideas, I'll give him that, okay? But you know what? It's pretty easy to have good ideas in this age of digital. He wants to do everything digitally, that's fine, but there's a lot more that Ukraine has to get settled before they start becoming a digital nation, and he's not taking care of that stuff.
All right, listen, can I just put 2 minutes people,
that's the whole problem is, guys, he's you know, I have a friend who is an English Ukrainian. Nahailo
Nazarbayevich. Yeah, I know
him. We all know him. Okay. Yeah.
He Nahailo тягнув за нього.
І зараз тягне. І зараз тягне.
Yeah, I lived through all of that. I've seen all of that, and I've come to the conclusion that now he doesn't say diddly squat about this man. Doesn't write anything. He writes about other stuff. He avoids the subject because he has. Actually, he was one of the people that helped to get him elected.
He's still pro-Zelensky. Nahal is still pro-Zelensky. And he's
if you challenge him on his Facebook page, he'll throw you out.
I don't challenge him. Right?
No, I'm just saying. I've been reading.
He talks to me
okay.
because he's lost a lot of friends. People to Anglis in the люди, які його добре знають, will not shake hands with him anymore. Which I think is stupid. Я не думаю бути на нього.
Окей, ми не будемо зараз про нього розмовляти. Богдан, пардон, пан Роман.
Він каже, ні, послухай Гески. Він каже, це не він, це ті люди, що коло нього. А звідки ті люди, що є коло нього? He appointed him. Who's the chief? Who's the guy? Адміо, голова.
Oh, Богдан, Портнов, give me a break with those guys.
Богдан, окей. Дивіться, я зараз хочу трошки зробити one step back to this very good point Андрій made, very important point, that conservative Ukrainians, I call them conservative, which are like concerned about. They think this is not the same Ukraine we were dreaming about, which Zelensky building. And here, Roman brought another very interesting remark about a situation in Jewish state in Israel with Hebrew and Yiddish. So, part of Jewish culture was developed, big part, in Yiddish language. And someone conservative in Israel decided, we will go only Hebrew from now. And this is a controversial split moment. So, Israel took this conservative approach. And is it became richer with Hebrew only? Is it became better with Hebrew only? This is a controversial subject. But Jewish people somehow slided over it. And I'm not sure, and not only me, I'm not Jewish, but Jewish people not sure, like Vitaly Portnikov or other say not sure it was right decision for Israel to abandon Jewish. Why am I saying this? Sorry.
Yeah, he understands this being the approach.
The same point now with Zelensky. Listen, I'm just bringing it back to Ukraine. Zelensky, he is now in this turning point. Either Ukraine will go conservative way, as with Poroshenko, or it will be go a little bit in center more and accept more liberal approach. Like Zelensky represents young liberal from south and from central Ukraine, right? So it's right. Not anti-Ukrainian. It's not conservative Ukrainian. This is the difference.
Well, what's it pro? What is it pro?
Pro-Ukraine. Is it different?
Pro what kind of Ukraine?
Exactly.
They
this is a good question.
70% of these people that voted for Zelensky could not tell you about Ukraine's complex history.
Oh, no, you're
history.
Not right. No, you're not right. Of course
most
not.
Most of them would not be able to, Stanislav. I'll tell you that. Have you ever talked to them?
Yes. Not me. I'm Bekeshkina, who is a well-known researcher in Ukraine. She presented map of those 70%. Who they consist of. They consist of everything. There is no defined pattern within those 70%. They are all from left to right. Zelensky is very interesting phenomenon in this case. He doesn't represent any particular part of society. He's like everything. This is not me. This is Bekeshkina who's saying this.
I think you're missing the whole point. I think what happened in that particular election, somebody decided that they want to go back. That's a fact. I'm there and I see what's going on.
Богдан, хто хоче бути під Москвою? It's nonsense. No, Москва declining power. No one wants it. It's not interesting for anyone.
Якщо ти на всіх каналах будеш писати цілий час, що Порошенко свого брата вбив, which he doesn't even have one, що Порошенко всі гроші вкрав, що він багатий за війну.
Да, хто дбає про цього Порошенка? Всі забули про нього вже.
It was a propaganda thing, fake news thing, and this is why 73% of people were convinced that this is what it was. And then they constantly showed the show Sluha Narodu, and of course he's the star in Sluha Narodu. And so people started thinking this is the guy who's going to us. That's how the whole thing happened.
No, this I don't ever, agree, this, but it's your point of view. I was following. He was not so popular. Serial Sluha Narodu не був популярний. It was not a popular show. So it's not that.
Хочеш, на Україні показували, я знаю багато людей, they love the show.
But I no one from my relatives or my friends in Ukraine seen this serial, this series before election. No one, even one. No one cared. It was somewhere on YouTube. They didn't care.
Well, I know people like Bogdan, my friend from England, who thought, and he was basically professing. He was telling me, it's all. It wasn't against the West going, smart going West going European going Poroshenko. It was about he's a crook. He's a bandit. He stole everything. That's what the whole thing was about. You had to watch. 112 канал, один плюс один.
Who watch those channels, like 112? It's marginal.
Виполоскати мозги людям є дуже легко. Let's get used to that idea.
This campaign, presidential campaign, was much cleaner than all previous. There was not so much dirt on Poroshenko. Unless you're visiting those deep holes, like shit holes, like 112 or other channels you mentioned. No one was there watching those.
Yep.
Yeah,
but you'd be surprised how many people watch those stupid shows.
No,
huh?
Not many. No, not many. It's YouTube channel. Come on, how many people?
You're kidding yourself, Stanislav. You're kidding yourself. You really are, and that's okay. You're entitled to your kidding yourself, as I am entitled to kidding myself.
Can I just add something?
Go ahead.
You know what? We can go on for 2 hours about this. So let's just see if we can maybe.
Let's change subjects.
Yeah, election's over.
but before we change subjects, let me tell you this, Stanislav. You're talking about no one that supported Zelensky wants to be part of Russia. Of course, they don't want to be part of Putin's political Russia. Okay, I agree with that. However, They want to have economic ties with Russia. They want to have cultural ties with Russia. They want to, they want to have familial ties with Russia. And that's all fine.
No, it's only 20-30% of those. 20-30% of his letters.
Будь ласка. Дай мені хвилинку закінчити думку одну, and then you can go on if you want. What I need to tell you this, Станіслава, is I believe that a lot of those people that say, oh, I don't want to worry about the politics. I want to be able to go buy something, to travel there, to have a rock band come here from Russia to play for me. They don't understand that it all goes back to the Kremlin. It all ties into politics.
Good point,
and if they say they don't want, and if they say they don't want to have political ties with Russia, that's too bad, because anything you want to have with Russia means a political tie right
now.
And that's what worries me. And that's what worries me about the bulk of Zelensky's supporters.
It's not bulk. It's 20% of his support. It's 20% of his support. According to Bekeshkina.
I believe it's higher.
According to Bekeshkina, it's 20%.
Of what? Of the people that I described, it's only 20%.
Exactly, of his support. It's only 20-30% of
his support. That's not the demographic that... That's not exactly the demographic that she described. But in any case, again, complicated topic. Going back to the original topic, I'm interested in getting Ukrainian citizenship. I just don't know if it's going to be that easy. So I hope that they get it right and they allow people like myself who want to have cultural ties with our ancestral homeland. I hope that they give me that opportunity.
I hope so.
I can become a Ukrainian citizen without giving up my American citizenship because I was born there. And I think
it'd
be kind of cool, okay? But I'm concerned about who buys all the land in Ukraine. That seems to be a problem.
Yes, that's another good topic.
And only citizens can. So there's a lot of stuff that have nothing to do with the personalities. It has to do with what these personalities, whoever they might be, are proposing. And the proposals need to be really checked. And they need to be thought about, and they need to be truly debated. And that's not really happening that much. And the only person that I see that's making really interesting statements, comparison, a real journalist, happens to be a nice Ukrainian Jewish boy. He could be living in Israel and be very happy, but he's in Moscow. Is really good. He is very. I met him like I guess 20 years ago, maybe when I first came to Ukraine, and I stayed. And the thing is, nobody's thinking it all the way to the end. And that's the problem. They start thinking it to the end.
Роман, ми маємо, мене рве вас, трошки щось з вас зв'язком погіршилося. Так, що вже не можна зрозуміти. Так,
Turn off the dial up.
I don't know how to... Off the picture. Wait a minute. Yeah, I can get. Yeah, okay. I'm off the.
Yeah, okay.
I'm off the camera.
That might help. Yeah.
Okay, all's good now. Okay. So you're talking about land. We're talking now about different particular subject. It's privatization. No, it's already privatized. It's lifting ban from privatization of land. Right. That's how it's called.
Ділиться землею, а не з приватизацією. Приватизація заводів далі відбувається. Certain ones are being allowed to, okay, we'll privatize this one or that one because it's making any money because it's being corrupted and stolen, etc. Whatever the reason, okay? The problem is land. The people who were cheated out of their land, Pichas Kurkurizacis, just before that, they are seeing their village disappearing. They're stealing land. This is what the big concern is. And they're worried about China coming in and stealing. Now, if you start giving citizenship to people in Russia, they'll be allowed to buy because they don't have...
Roman, no one will give citizenship to Russians. It's impossible.
How is that impossible?
It's impossible. In current situation,
right,
during war, it's impossible. It's
happening right now.
Like who got citizenship?
In Navidza Poroshenko, there were Russians that were getting Ukrainian citizenship.
Dissidents, yes.
No, not just Russian dissidents. There were cases where there were some undesirables that were coming here and getting Ukrainian citizenship. And you see, again, the problem is with the law. it's not a very solid law. And the other thing is that the courts in Ukraine, the justice system is not in place to support even good laws or bad laws. It just doesn't exist.
Like everywhere, you know, Russian mafia coming to London and getting the citizenship, and London struggling with this. So this is world problem. It's not only Ukrainian. And
oh yeah, okay. But again, there's a difference between things not working out the way that they're supposed to in civilized countries like England, United States, Canada, and them not working out in Ukraine. Again, we're talking about a small democracy, a small D democracy with the smallest D that you can imagine, if you understand my metaphor.
No. I don't agree about this D. I think it's D, not normal small size D. It's not so small.
Well,
it's a working democracy in Ukraine. It's obviously.
Okay, so. Telling me that Medvedchuk, for example, is not working against Ukraine daily, hourly, every minute.
Yeah, he does.
By bringing in people and somehow getting them in here, and they're not supposed to be in here. There's one example of things not working out well.
He's, you called this name, I don't even want to repeat his name, but this is kind of evil.
Oh, you have to repeat him.
I don't like repeating his name.
You know what? For 10 years I've known you, and I'm telling you, I'm happy to have met you, I'm happy to know you. But I remember even our Hafna Pius way back when, and the topic of Medvedchuk came up, and you said he's a non-entity for you. I know what you're saying. I'd like to think the same way, but unfortunately, he's not a non-entity. Look, he still has the power that he has.
Yes,
in
he
Ukraine,
has power. He has much more than three of us together, and like multiply 100. Yes.
Even a fraction, we don't even come in as a fraction, guys. let's put it this way.
But he's not game changer.
Don't take it only from the point of view of, oh, it's not affecting me, or it's I don't. He's nobody to me, and nobody in my family gives a shit about. Because that's not, you know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about how the rest of the world looks at it, or at least this is what I was hoping we'd be talking about. So maybe that's the way we should really get into it. But that's we should maybe limit these kind of discussions to.
Ah, ми скачемо, ми дуже скачемо, дійсно. We have to concentrate more.
In the subject and talk about something else, because if we had two guys were listening, then probably nobody's listening anymore. Because we're arguing.
Actually, it's exactly two who's listening. Who are listening? So people coming in and out to the room.
Today, tonight, actually, they'll have the Academy Awards, which I really don't care. But they're fun, you know, and it's interesting. I don't know any of the actors now. It just shows you how old I am. I'm not, you know, to me, if it's not Clark Gable, then who the hell is this actor? But there's a lot of new actors, and they're being nominated for certain positions, and especially movies. Some of these movies I haven't seen, even though I'm here. I don't get to see these movies.
Пан Роман, я хочу запитати Андрія, вибачте. Андрій, how do you hear Roman? Is it choppy a little bit? His sound?
Yeah, it's a bit choppy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can make it out, but yeah, it's a little bit choppy.
For you guys, I don't know.
Can you summarize, Andrii, what we're talking about now? Can you, because Roman is choppy a little bit, and I'm a little bit lost, sorry. He was, of course, I heard, Roman, what you were saying about Oscar, and people think more about Oscar. But no. Besides this, Andrii, can you bring us back somewhere?
Well, Uncle was talking about the Oscars, but I mean, I don't want to speak for him. He was in the middle of explaining how he's viewing this year's crop of films. Is that correct, Uncle?
Basically, yes. And one of the things, the funny part, it's always been funny for me because I never really knew when, in the olden days, when I watched the Oscars, when I lived in, you know, 30 years ago, and I'm still here in America. When I watched the Oscars, I knew the films because I saw most of those films that were being nominated and the actors from those films which were nominated. And I knew the actors, not personally, but I knew the names. Now I'm in the quandary. I could watch the show maybe, but it's become political because they're constantly, you know, it's axe grinding basically. But I don't know the actors, so it's not fun for me anymore. I just mentioned it because it is a big event because I watched the Super Bowl and I haven't seen the Super Bowl for 20 years. And that show was great. I've been to a lot of bars that have pole dancers, and I'll tell you, those two girls put on the show. I don't know, small children shouldn't have been watching it, but they probably were. It was a little, it was, a, you know, I'm not a naive guy. I've seen nudity and everything else, and women's very, very scantily dressed, grabbing their own crotch. That doesn't, that, you know, I don't find that interesting. I mean,
yeah,
fun, but you know, if I had a little kid watching it with me, it would,
yeah,
be,
it's actually pretty sad when you think about how a lot of what you see on broadcast television has really crossed some lines that even 10 years ago were pretty solid, and you know that you could be guaranteed to watch something that you know, is basically friendly and acceptable for everyone. As soon as the internet came along, that opened up all sorts of channels for people to do whatever they want, and then broadcast television said, well, you know, if we're going to have to compete with these people, and we're going to start pushing the envelope. And in the United States, I think they've done a good job to put the FCC on notice that broadcast television of today is not what broadcast television was, say, 10 years ago. Same thing's happening in Canada with the CRTC. So, you know, we're in a changing dynamic right now when it comes to broadcasting. A lot of people are cutting cable, as we call it, right? They're just going for streaming services more and more. Even people were worried about not being able to get local news through streaming services. That's changing as well, because slowly and surely you'll be able to probably pick up the bulk of your stuff from streaming, whether it's local news or, you know, live sports.
Well, look at us. We're broadcasting on a platform that, you know, didn't exist a while back, right?
They, yeah. You know,
I remember, listen, guys, you might not remember your ages. I watched television in 1949. It was black and white, and it had three. They had ABC, CBS, and NBC.
I remember that time. Black and white, three Soviet TV channels. It was my it was my childhood. Yeah.
3CP1, 3CP2, and 3CP3.
CP? No, no.
3CP. There's a Second City skit where they make fun of Soviet television. Get up. 3CP1. Excellent, excellent skit on Second City. Anyway.
I don't know what's that. Sorry. No, yeah, Roman. We are old here. We all witnessed black and white TV, I think. Andrei too, right? Did you see black and white TV?
Yeah, I remember. I mean, I was born in 1960, so I do definitely have recollection of black and white television. I can't go as far back as Roman. Obviously, I wasn't watching TV in the late 40s. But
we didn't have a television. We used to go to visit friends for Smolyaki, because they had a television, and we would go like. When Voice of Firestone used to play classical music, and I forget which channel it was on, but it was one of three channels, that's all there was. And so, you know, my father buy a television, he felt that it would make me addicted to sit there in front of the boob tube, and he was basically correct. I think that's a big problem for everybody right now with the smartphones and everything else. People are driving their cars and looking what their text message is and getting into accidents. And then that's really a problem. So,
yeah. Hey, I'm looking at this podcast app here. Podbean app on my iPad.
Uh-huh.
And so I this is my first time actually using Podbean. I mean, I've got it open here at the side. And there's buttons for call-ins. People can call in, right?
Yes.
One. So I see that Reynaldo has joined and he's listening. Maybe Reynaldo wants to call in.
That's a good idea.
Yep.
Besides, like Ronaldo, sounds like one of my favorite football players in Europe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe soccer. Ronaldo can definitely bring in a different perspective to some of the stuff we're talking about.
Who listening? One guy was trying, or I think it was guy. He was trying to reach us. He was here in the right corner, but we were in the middle of some discussion, so he's gone. We have this opportunity now to
if he joins us, but let's put it this way. Going back to broadcasting, I think within 5 years maybe 10, but I think within 5 years, you're going to see the revolution that the internet has been bringing on. And that is that everything will be, anything and everything will be available. And you'll be able to pick and choose what you want, when you want, how you want it, whether there's swearing or not, whether there's nudity or not. Like, you know, the rules will be broken. What my concern is that we used to have some boundaries and some limits and some norms of decency for when we were trying to raise our kids. And I think that's the problem right now, is we don't have those defined norms anymore. And that's kind of what concerns me.
And but Andriy, I think these challenges like this forever. The parents never understand kids. And especially in our times, we have a different, we live in a very different time. We are changing so fast that we don't.
Okay. But you know, think about it this way. In the 60s and the 70s, if your kids were at home and if your kids were able to go out on the street and play on the street or go to the neighborhood park without you worrying about them. I mean, I grew up in the 60s. I grew up in the 70s. You know, my childhood was in those decades. I easily went to one or two or five parks that were within a 5 kilometer radius of my home. And there was absolutely no problem. And sometimes I came home at 7 o'clock. Sometimes I came home at 9 o'clock. Sometimes we went to the park to play
Andriy,
football,
there were problems.
Hockey in the winter.
There were problems that time. I know what you're talking about.
Not like there are today.
No, they were not so televised. There was no so televised.
Mm-hmm. But hang on, that's not my point. My point is this, though, is that if your child is cunning enough and understands how to creatively get by their parents today, for example, with something like the internet, right? You have to then start to rethink about how you're raising your child, and you have to make sure that you have your child's trust and that your child has your trust, right? Otherwise, it's a lot of, I can see a lot of difficulties happening with people that are going to be trying to raise their kids in today's open internet society. That's all I'm saying.
I see it with my grandson. So it's a very, you know, it's a, children are much, much smarter than anybody gives them credit.
And your parents can be the best parents in the world. They can mean the best for you. But in today's society, a lot of these loopholes exist and they're starting to get bigger, right? So I'm just saying it's something that I think needs to be looked at and looked at seriously.
I don't think in terms of security we became more less secure. No. We are not. We are more probably secure.
We have more challenges today. How can we not be less secure if we have more challenges today with respect to our security?
But those challenges are smarter than challenges of our time, like when we
but
were
But you
kids.
Know what? But Stan, your child could be as careful as possible with your guidance on the internet, for example, using Facebook.
Okay.
And you know that there are predators out there that know how to use Facebook and know how to use other social media.
Yeah, but...
And you could be... Mm-hmm. So I'm saying those challenges have now come up. You can't say that wasn't a problem 20 years ago. Well, of course it wasn't a problem 20 years ago because it wasn't around 20 years ago. The internet wasn't around like it is 20 years ago. So, you know, that's what I'm saying is we have other things that we have to deal with today more than we ever did.
We also are part of a permissive society that is thinking in terms of they don't understand that children need help. Their parents that bring those children into this world, everything works right, is really the parent responsibility. Now most households, the husband and wife both need to work, so they figure the school is supposed to bring the kids up. The school isn't really the proper environment. And plus I see parents asking children what they like, what they don't like. They let a 3-year-old kid decide whether he wants to be a boy or a real big problem. It really has nothing to do with, except with neuroses, as far as I'm concerned. So all these things, you know, it's all a matter of environment, the time that we live in, and the technology that is guarding us from all sides with all kinds of options. So, you know, even this option that we have right now, we're on the air and we are telling people what we think, and you know, somebody's listening to us. I mean, somebody is, maybe somebody isn't. It's our first program, so it's
hey. I'm gonna have to get going in about 10 minutes, guys. I'm sorry, this was an impromptu thing that I wasn't prepared for, and I'm really happy we did it, and I'm hoping we can get back to it on a regular basis. But can I throw one more topic for the last 10 minutes that I'm going to be here. If you guys want to continue on after I'm gone, more than welcome to.
No, we will conclude it in 10 minutes. It's already around 1 hour. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So let me throw this for a last topic, because it is a bit of an international topic, but it still goes back to a Ukrainian sort of topic we've thrown around for many years. So one of the things we like to do in the past, when the three of us would get together, we'd like to talk about, you know, news about Ukraine, news from Ukraine, and we like to do it in English, because that's one thing that we always, or at least I found that to be a problem, and I think you guys agreed with me. There are very, very poor global resources for getting the word out of Ukraine in a qualitative way to get people to understand what is happening in Ukraine. And look what just happened in the United States with the impeachment hearing and the impeachment trial and how Ukraine came up. And what I found incredible was that there was no major media outlet or even an alternative sort of new media outlet on the internet. No one brought on Ukrainian experts that know Ukraine from the inside to speak in English, to speak authoritatively and credibly about what's happening in Ukraine and how Ukraine should be viewed in light of what was happening during the trial. That's the thing I want to talk about. Where are we with Ukrainian news for the English language audience? UATV, which some people may like or may not like, they had to for whatever reason shut down their English language broadcasting and spend more time on their Russian language broadcasting, which I never really will understand. But you know, where are we with Ukrainian matters in terms of the English media?
First of all, let me quickly just put very short remark, and then Pan Roman. Listen, I'm pretty much happy that Ukraine didn't participate informationally in American impeachment affairs. It's but at the time when you better stay silent, because it's mess, and Ukraine didn't jump to this mess, and I'm happy about this. Now, Pan Roman.
Well, there's two. We don't need to get involved in it. We do need to use this. This is a political platform. All of a sudden, Ukraine was never really thought about as anything important. It was always, oh, well, we'll just let them go. Most of Europe, right, was figuring that, well, let the Russians have the east of Ukraine, let them have Crimea, as long as we can get gas cheap. You know, it really comes down to very simple things. Everybody talks about the Ukrainians with their stomach. Well, all of Europe thinks with the heat of their blankets and how soft the bed is. So, you know, we have a problem. We do not talk about Ukraine, because constantly, what I heard, and when I'm here, I hear it's really a shame. They're talking about Ukraine. Well, it's most corrupt and it's terrible. It's not the most corrupt country in Europe. France is most corrupt. Russia is most corrupt. Turkey is most corrupt. Greece is most corrupt. Everybody is most corrupt. We are living in a very corrupt time. Everybody is corrupt. Nobody is speaking up for Ukraine in English. And English is the Esperanto. See, we all forget. I mean, it's easier. I know how to speak English, so it's nice. Ukraine, unfortunately, in the political sense, is thinking that they need to do it in Russian because there are a lot of people, and even the Russians, I mean, the Russian people to understand what we're talking about. So we're very concerned about making our point of view sensitive and understood by Russians. But I think we should, it's okay, we should do that, but we should also do English, because that's the Esperanto. The Italians know English.
That's what we do.
German, the Spanish, they all know English, and they don't get news from Ukraine. Yet Russia has an English speaking problem, or Russia, they are the, and they are. They're losing us to death over here, and we have nobody standing up for us. Losing that particular radio program was a terrible thing, and I it was a decision by government. And so, I've been on Ukrainian radio for 13 years. So if you want to talk about that, we can talk about it. It takes more than 10 minutes.
No, the issue exists. Andriy is right. The issue exists. I'm not sure. In particularly speaking about impeachment, I expressed myself. I said I'm happy Ukraine stood out of it. But in general, Ukraine.
Well, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you about that? Mm-hmm. So you're saying that it's good that Ukraine stayed out of that mess. Do you not think that a lot of damage was done to the name of Ukraine and to the name of Ukrainians? And if we're not there, if Ukraine is not there defending itself somehow in the media, you don't think that that should have happened?
I think American Democrats done this job.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, wait a minute. It doesn't matter. You know what? I don't want to get into Republican Democrat right now. That's not the issue. The issue is that Ukraine was front and center. When you watch the hearings, every second word was Ukraine, Zelensky, whatever.
Amazing. But, you know, more than Beatles.
Amazing. But it's not amazing if we don't have people who can then go on the nightly talk shows and talk about what was just being said in the Senate or in the House. We needed people to be there to talk about what's going on in Ukraine because it was a very, very distorted picture.
It's a one-sided question, and we have to... Yeah, no, Stanislav, it's not being Democrat, Republican. It's not being communist, socialist, Democrat. It has to do with Ukraine should have an image. An image needs to be protected at all times.
But not in this particular case with impeachment. Impeachment was internal thing. It's for Americans.
But just a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
But hang on a sec.
I will say it slowly, Stanislav. I don't think you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm thinking about this for a long time. I mean, the whole impeachment, I was thinking, is there a place for Ukrainian to jump in and contribute? And I said, no, better not. We don't understand this mess. I mean, yeah.
How can you let it go, though? You know what? If the country in question was not Ukraine, but, for example, the United Kingdom, you know the BBC, Sky News, every second outlet in Britain would be on this left, right, and center. If Israel was the country instead of Ukraine being talked about, there would have been 100 different media sources.
But it was about president.
It doesn't matter. It's Ukraine, though. It doesn't matter who, if it was the president, the prime minister, or some schmuck. The point is, it was Ukraine that was being talked about, yeah. And perceptions were put forth to an already semi-literate American audience when it comes to global geopolitical matters. So I'm telling you right now, someone should have been there giving the facts, and there was nobody giving the facts.
I heard a lot
of
Democrats speaking about importance of Ukraine and. Opposition to Trump was speaking about this.
Great.
They done good job. Yeah.
Excellent. So where were the Ukrainians then following that up?
What do you mean?
I listened to the whole thing, and all I can tell you guys is very simply that you don't have to believe one side or the other. What you need to believe in is that Ukraine needs an advocate.
Yes.
In other words, whenever somebody is dishing Ukraine, like Ukraine sucks, Ukraine's this, Ukraine is corrupt, and it's because of Ukraine, and then we do Rudy Giuliani and all this nonsense, and we don't have anybody else countering some of these arguments, and need to be not countered, it's to put in proper perspective, and they're not being put in proper perspective. This is what I'm thinking, and I think that's what you mean, Andrew. And because otherwise, we have the interest in Ukraine. Okay, it's a negative interest, but it's an interest, and we should use it, and we should kind of do something that would be beneficial to Ukraine. And we're not doing that. Ukraine's not doing that. I'm doing it on the.
No, we're doing it right now. We are airing, by the way, and we have three listening people listening to us, guys. If you want to jump and ask.
Well, we're hanging pretty soon because I'm tired. My voice is tired.
It's time to finish.
Thank you to the people who joined and keep track of this channel. I think we should do this again. I don't know how soon. I'll be moving at the end of the month, and I've got a lot to do for my move. But maybe late February, let's try it again. If not, let's start looking at this as a regular thing come middle of March.
Yes, and we have a good composition. I'm kind of opposing to Andrei. So we can do it hot.
you're not opposing, but having a discussion. A difference of opinion is not opposing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
What we can say, maybe what Stan means to say is that today he and I exchanged some views that were in opposition. But I think in general we have very good chemistry, and I think that we should try and continue this on a regular basis. I'm ready to get back into it, guys.
Sign off with the music, five listeners or three listeners, whatever. I hope you got something out of this silly discussion.
It's a normal statistic.
Nice to see you guys again.
Yeah.
Okay. Всего доброго.
Всего доброго.